It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 722. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show for your free 15-day trial, and you can go directly to Instant House Call by just going to instanthousecall.com. The show is also brought to you by Magnus Box. If you want secure, reliable online backups for your clients' machines, workstations, server, Magnus Box is your answer. You can check out the demo, go to magnusbox.com. You can also click on their ad on the left-hand side of the Mike Tech Show website. Check out the demo. You can actually try a client and test backing up. If you mention that you heard it on the Mike Tech Show, you will get half price on your first three months. Also, you got great onboarding videos to help you and guide you through the configuration and the process. It is very simple. I know once you demo it, you're going to be back and signing up. This is where you can make money by having workstations, servers. It's cross-platform. You got clients out there that have Macs that need to be backed up, and maybe you're scared to work with that. You got an online backup solution here. Give it a try. Let me know how you make out, and I know you will be happy. And we're going to talk about Magnus Box later in the show because we have some questions. So we'll hear from them again, and also Instant House Call. So tonight's show, I put out there about what Android would I want, and I don't want Samsung because it's so much money. If I'm going to go, or if anybody is making a selection, boy, did you respond. I have great emails on all sorts of tips and recommendations for Android solutions. Going to hit that first. Then we have some emails. We have a question. And really a comment about QuickBooks after you clone the drive to a solid-state drive, that fix. Interesting feedback from a listener. We're going to talk about backups, and we're going to talk about Windows 10 install when you first set up. A couple questions there and some comments. So let's get started with the first email from Kate. It's a long email. I want to go through it because great advice. Hi, Mike. I have a Google Pixel 3, and I love it. It's probably too much phone for you, though. A good alternative to the Pixel 3 is the Pixel 3a. By the way, I did not even know a 3a existed, so this is great. She continues, which I considered before upgrading from my first generation Pixel. I decided against the Pixel 3a, which is significantly less expensive because I wanted the better camera. It's still worth it for you to consider the 3A when you do your comparisons. The first link in the show notes is to the Pixel 3A. My husband, who had to be dragged kicking and screaming into using a smartphone, now uses a OnePlus 7 Pro. It's larger than the Pixel, but his hands are bigger than mine, so that's not a problem for him. One of the things he likes best is that there's no bezel Everything goes right to the edge of the screen, so it seems even larger than large. What you probably want is the Motorola Moto G7, which is a cheap Android phone with a mediocre camera and crappy sound. It looks classier than it actually is. And again, you should take a look at it when you do your comparisons. I looked hard at it for a friend who needs to replace her Samsung Galaxy S5 and doesn't want to spend a lot of money. I can only discuss relative price because I'm looking at Canadian dollars. And everything here costs more because it doesn't come from here originally. And people in Canada pay more for cell phone service than people anywhere else in the civilized nation. So Pixel 3 is the most expensive one I'm discussing. Then a drop to the 3A, then a big hunking drop to the Moto G7. Boy, it sounds like the Moto G7 is mine. I don't care about sound on my phone, and I don't care about the camera. I just need basic pictures of serial numbers or maybe technical equipment. That's it. I leave the camera to my wife. She's all about the camera, so she's going to have a big, hunking, expensive phone, and she's salivating over the new cameras that are being advertised on the smartphones, and I see her panting wanting that, and I see I'm going to have to empty the wallet for that. Kate continues. Other things to consider when thinking about Android phones. There are lots of flavors of any Android version because it's not a closed environment like iOS. So when you buy a Google-branded phone, two things happen. One, you get your system updates and your system upgrades from Google, not from your carrier. You don't have to wait for Google to get around to releasing something to Samsung, who then monkeys with it and releases it to your phone company, who then monkeys with it and eventually rolls it out to you. The other thing that happens is that Google-branded phones run the stock version of that Android. Samsung, Motorola, and most everyone except Google, but especially Samsung, they're terrible about it. Put their own version of apps on their phones. So instead of Google stuff, you get Samsung's text app, calendar app, contacts app, and so on. You can install the pure apps, but it's one more thing to go through. Some Android phones can use SD cards to increase storage space, and some can't. That's something I am interested in. If you need access to a lot of stuff actually with you and not in the cloud, you should at least consider a phone that is expandable in that way. Google branded phones are not. This isn't a problem for me because I'm comfortable with most things being in a cloud, and I could take advantage of Android Go, which is so very awesome. I'm going to have a link to Android Go. When you're looking for some utility or other for an Android phone, don't assume that you have to pay for it. Android is not Apple. There are plenty of free and ad-supported utilities that will do what you need to do. I've tried several podcast apps, for instance, that are free with ads. And that takes a little bit of money if you want to remove the ad. There are plenty of apps that are just free without ads too. So keep your wallet in your pocket until you know you need it. Hope that helps. I'll be interested to hear how you make out. Of course, you're welcome to reach out. If you like some more information or help, take care. Kate, thank you so much. And before I pull the final trigger, you will hear from me. So this is great stuff from Kate. Thank you. And we're going to keep going with the phone comments and recommendations. This is from Bob, replacement iPhones. I just heard your podcast on phone recommendations. I feel just like you do with not wanting to pay those high prices for the newest phone models. What I have been doing is buying last year's or the year before model of iPhones when it is time to upgrade. This way, someone else has absorbed the install, the initial cost of the new phone. I went through Verizon to make my purchase, and it is, and at the same time, I renegotiated my contract, so I got the phone basically for nothing. And my rates went down from what I had been paying. So it was a win-win. I went from an iPhone 7 to an iPhone 10 Plus. So look around at some of their used models. So far, ones I got look like they have never been used and ended up paying a fraction of the cost of the original ones. Take care and keep up the good work. We all appreciate what you do, and that's why we keep coming back. Bob from Denver, Bob from Dover, New Hampshire. Thank you. This is a good comment because this is the situation I'm in. I'm paying maximum price for my carrier, and I have an iPhone 7. It's in mint condition, but it's time to upgrade. And if I have to stay in the Apple ecosystem, this is definitely the way I'm looking to go from an iPhone perspective, but I still will buy an Android. I believe I need a second phone. I believe I need to be in both ecosystems at the same time. So I'm looking at right now probably the least expensive Android and then moving from the iPhone 7 to a used 10 Plus or used 11, whatever, whenever I pull the trigger, whatever the used is. That's when I'm starting to feel where I'm headed here. Let's keep going. This is from Aaron. I got my Moto Z3 Play on sale for $229 on Black Friday. Regular cost is similar to their current model at $499. Good features for tech is that you get different modes to enhance your phone, such as, mods, as an external battery, projector, or JBL speaker. Aaron, thank you very much for the email. This is from Chris. Android phone recommendation, the Moto G7 Power. Here's my 2 cents on a good Android phone for under $200. Motorola G7 Power is the phone I am currently using. It's $150 from Consumer Cellular, which operates on the AT&T cell network. It charges quickly and has high-capacity battery. 32 gig of flash memory, SIM and SD card are inserted through a slot in the side, not by removing a back cover. Pricing is very good from Consumer Cellular. I'm going to have a link to their website. Their monthly pricing structure is simple and it auto scales. Just log in each month and lower data service back down to save dollars. To enable Wi-Fi hotspot, you have to call customer service and ask them to enable it for each of your phone numbers on the account. Porting existing number has gone well for us. Customer service can be a little slow to answer, 15-minute wait sometimes, but very good once they are on the phone. Thanks for the show, Chris. Chris, great comments that I am glad to share. I thought I was going to have to wait to do a show on this, but I got such an abundance of email and great comments. I was like, ooh, I got to share all this. All those comments were great. Continue to send them in on your Android selections because I know the regular subscriber cannot be up to date exactly. I know a lot of you are, but to hear the latest podcast at the time I release it, and there's like a delay sometimes up to as much as a month that I'll get feedback for older shows. Don't worry. I don't care when you're listening. You got a comment on a past show or the current show and you're behind, please send the email anyway because I might start and do another show based on it. And I definitely know there is such a hot interest in phones, especially all the variety of Android phones. I know there'll be another segment of a show that I do down the road. So keep the email coming. I really appreciate it. This is an email from Rod, and a couple of items for your podcast. Regarding setting up a local account during Windows 10 installation, I've heard it mentioned a few times that one should disconnect the network when installing Windows 10 for the first time in order to bypass creating a Microsoft account. For me, I always choose the domain join. By the way, Rod, as I interrupt here, that scares me because if there's no domain, and I'm going to read the rest of your email, but I don't want to do something that I got to undo or go down a road where if you were to do this on a Surface Pro, you have problems. You will absolutely have to redo the system. So now he continues. Instead, even if I am setting up a workgroup computer, it doesn't actually force you into joining a domain, which you may not have, but it later asks you to create an account. And the actual domain joining is a later manual process that it actually never walks you through. That has worked for me for a long time. I don't know. I just find it easier to just not plug the network cable in when you're starting. That seems pretty simple, but this is, thank you, Rod, for that. He continues, backups. I just wondered if you might go into a bit more detail on how your new choice in backups. I know that you have been a long time Shadow Protect advocate and wondered if you are still maintaining any Shadow Protect backups. Oh, am I ever. Lots. And I'm going to get into the details. And if you have replaced them with Magnusbox. No, I use the two of them together. And what your primary reason? Also, when setting up a backup on Magnusbox, there are several options, from files and folders to Windows system backup, and a choice to backup to the Magnusbox cloud or a locally maintained vault. I like to have both local and cloud backups available, but they are not available together in the same backup job. Just wondered if you might expand a little bit on your typical backup procedure. Longtime listener, keep up the good work. I really enjoy your podcast format, content, and length. Rod, thank you very much. Let me get into first, send an email. You may have to have two backup jobs. I do not use Magnusbox for storing to the local vault. I just don't happen to use that feature. And what you might want to do is send an email to support@magnusbox.com, and they'd be glad to help you whether you need two separate jobs or just one. Or they'll answer it even if you haven't joined them yet, and this is a feature that you're looking to do. The way you describe it and the way I don't want to answer incorrectly, but it does sound like it's two jobs. I do a Shadow Protect local backup on any system that requires backing up. I want that. So if there's a quick file to delete, or this is where my image, I don't want to send a full image of any system to the cloud. That's not what I want to do. I want an image local. So if there's a local problem with the hardware, then I can do a quick recovery from Shadow Protect. But if we have a disaster, I'm rebuilding from scratch, and then I could download the files from Magnusbox from the cloud. So I want a cloud backup of files and folders, and then I want a local backup. Now, I ran into a problem with one client where my Magnusbox job was stomping on my Shadow Protect job. So make sure one is done before the other and you give enough time in between for them to finish, so you don't have them hitting at the same time trying to lock and grab files. That's just best practice no matter who you're using. So what I typically do is I have my Magnusbox backup go first, then later in the night, the Shadow Protect. Some clients, it's reversed. It's just based on the timing. But I want that local, and I want the cloud, and I like using two different sources. So I'm using Shadow Protect for the local, and that's just a one-time price. And then you have an incredibly great prices for Magnusbox for the cloud-based solution. It's so inexpensive. You just have to jump on and use them for your backup. I am happy with all my clients that I am using the cloud backup service. And of course, you've heard me talk for years about Shadow Protect and how much I like that on for the local backup. So there's two things I'm solving for. I'm solving for continuity of the workstation by being able to recover it with the Shadow Protect for a full image, and maybe that quick file restore if I have to. And then I also have the cloud backup, and that's for disaster recovery, where the building blows up. So now we're buying a new system and putting it at another location, and then I would download, after I get all the programs installed, I would download the latest backup from the cloud. Last email. This is also from Rod. Last week, I cloned my accountant's hard drive to a new SSD because it was beginning to fail. She had QuickBooks Premier, Accountant Edition 2020, and several older QuickBooks versions installed. Up till this time, I have not cloned a hard drive with QuickBooks installed, but I've heard you mention many times about a particular file that needs to be deleted in this particular situation. That is correct. He continues, so I was ready. I found the file location was prepared to fix the issue, but I decided I would rather see the problem for myself before running the fix. When I returned her system, I prepared her for a possible QuickBooks problem and was ready to fix it. But there was never any problem. And that has been over a week ago. I'm just wondering what made my situation different. I used Acronis. Maybe the new QuickBooks 2020 has corrected the problem. Any ideas? I have not cloned a QuickBooks 2020. So could it be that QuickBooks fixed that issue? It sounds like it. But Rod, I would say at least 50 clones, maybe probably more, that we've done with QuickBooks, we have always had to delete that file. Always. And I'm going to have a link to it in the show notes again. And I've linked this many times, that when you clone QuickBooks, there is a file and it's involved in the licensing because you have to re-register the program again. And by deleting that file, I was able to get in and was able to run QuickBooks because there's an error and you can't. Even if you uninstall QuickBooks and reinstall, it would not work. The only answer is to delete this file. And for you not to have that situation, then they have to have corrected that in 2020. Because I know 2019, I had to delete the file. So I have not cloned a 2020 yet. If anybody has who's using QuickBooks and working with QuickBooks out there, let me know if that's the case that Rod has emailed me about. So thank you, Rod, for that info. That is it for tonight's show. The best way to support the Mike Tech Show, me, Carrie Holzman, and Tech Vets, the best way is to use our Amazon link, which I have in every show notes. It's also at tech-vets.com. Click on that link before you're adding your items to your shopping cart. Once you click the link, it brings you back to Amazon. Your price is the same, but a small commission comes back to help support Carrie Holzman and myself, and we really appreciate it. Don't forget, give Instant House Call a try. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be wrapping up quick tonight because I have some remote work to do. And I'm going to use Instant House Call. I'm going to jump on. I'm going to do it. You know, there's a feature I had to use last night that's very cool that I want to talk about, an Instant House Call. My son is at his house. I am sitting here in the office, and we had a both remote into the same system because I needed his help, and it was two systems at a dental office. So once I logged in with Instant House Call unattended mode, there's a conference option that I could conference Mike Jr. in. We were able to tackle the issue together because I had part of the solution. He had the other part. And it was 9 o'clock Eastern time last night as we were both remoted in. What a great feature to have to be able to do that. It's very cool. So Instant House Call, Magnus Box, start your demo. Go to magnusbox.com. Mention that you heard it on the Mike Tech Show. Get your demo, play with it, beat it up, and then go back and sign up and start adding your client systems to it. Fabs Auto Backup, again, two systems this week we had to convert to a new computer, Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. There's nothing like it for moving your settings and your data from one operating system to another, from one system to another. That's it. Thank you for joining, and hope to be back next week. Same time, same channel. Everybody have a great week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.